WSGWNU on a Friday. Good morning on 100.5 and 790. Maybe through Siri, through Alexa. How about just WSGW.com? We are so pleased you're on WSGW on a Friday, though we look forward at this time of the morning show to Saturday, as college football once again is front and center for Saginaw Valley State University. And the broadcast you'll have on 100.5. And having, of course, with the voice of Cardinals football, J.J. Boehm, who joins us on Friday to start the pregame show now. And he does so not in studio, but through telephone technology. We'll call it to your home studio. Good morning to you, J.J.
Yes, good morning, Charlie. I'm sure like many other parents in your listening audience who have had the experience of having your plans for the morning, and then you wake up to a child who's not feeling well, your plans get adjusted. So happy to be joining you from home this morning.
And pleased that Dr. Boehm is able to make a house call with us this morning.
Well, maybe nursemaid would be more appropriate.
Oh, J.J., you know we got to talk about last week, and oh, boy. Cardinals fans know, people were listening right to the very end, as SVSU, for a second straight year, went toe-to-toe with Ferris State and just came up short at the end. I'll let you tell me what you want to say to the listeners of just how that game unfolded and unfortunately escaped at the end.
Well, I mean, so first of all, yes, you have to be impressed with what SVSU was able to do against Ferris, who, you know, remains the number one team in the country, the defending national champs, where, you know, Ferris in the second quarter is driving, looks like they're going to get that touchdown to put them up by three scores. And then, you know, they've got a goal to go at the 1 yard line. And Alfred Daly, the SVSU linebacker, comes in, puts a perfect hit on the running back, ball squirts free, SVSU recovers it. And then SVSU really controlled the game for the rest of the second quarter. All of the third quarter was leading 28-20. But then, unfortunately for the Cardinals, SVSU got called for two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties during a very long drive by Ferris. 14 plays, took over 8 minutes off the clock. They got a field goal to pull them within one score. SVSU wasn't able to do anything on their next offensive possession, and then eventually, with just over a minute to go, Ferris got it back down to the goal line again, and this time they did punch it in, and so they were able to escape with a victory, despite SVSU really controlling the game, like I said, for all of the third quarter.
I'll present this, and you can make commentary if you'd like. Because you mentioned the two unsportsmanlike penalties that certainly aided Ferris State in that game, I lost count and I had to actually go to the stat sheet. 27 penalties, 17 on Ferris State, 10 on SVSU. Were the officials just being extra cautious? Were those actual penalties? Was it a little nitpicking? As I said, you say what you'd like about the officiating.
Well, I mean, so I will say, I mean, most of sending the unsportsmanlike conduct penalties aside, right, because I'm not down on the field, I can't hear what's being said from one player to another player, you know, from a player to an official or those kinds of things. So I'm not in a position to second guess any of the unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. The other penalties, the holds, the late hits, the false starts, the pass interference, I mean, all of those that you could see, they were legitimate penalties. And like you said, I mean, so on the one hand, if you're an SVSU fan, you definitely look back at those two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties and how they really affected the outcome from an SVSU perspective. If Ferris had lost that game, as you said, they'd been pointing to the fact that they got called for 17 penalties for 203 yards. So penalties definitely were a factor. And as you said, the officials threw a lot of flags on both teams. But again, from what I could see, aside from the unsportsmanlike conduct penalties that I'm just not in a position to judge, all of the others seem to be legitimate calls.
Well, that's heartening to hear. I mean, you don't want that many flags in the first place. But, you know, if they're calls that should be made, then you say you don't like it. But my goodness, at least the officials made the calls. And so I guess you say we'll respect the officials because they're down there in the field and we're not.
And I can also say both sidelines definitely pointed to occasions where they thought there should have been a flag called on the other team, too, and it wasn't called. So I don't think it was a flag-happy crew. I think it was a game that just, you know, was high intensity and did have a disproportionate number of penalties.
Well, that was last week, so you have to move on, and SVSU does and has to do so, picking up the pieces from that disheartening loss to now still stay at home and prepare for not just a game, but all the extra added activities, because it's homecoming this weekend.
It is homecoming, and so we've got already a great response for the alumni tailgate that precedes the game. It's been a great week of pageantry around campus. And, you know, SVSU decided that they really needed to take a step down in terms of the quality of competition. So after taking on the number two team in the country 2 weeks ago, the number one team in the country last week, SVSU decided we're going to go all the way down and host the number eight team in the country in Division II football this Saturday, as SVSU will be hosting the University of Indianapolis Greyhounds. If that sounds familiar to many of our loyal listeners, Indianapolis was a football-only member of the GLIAC for many, many years, and then was in the GLVC for all their other sports. When GLVC started adding football as a sport that their conference sponsors, then Indianapolis moved their football program into that conference as well. But they're undefeated coming in on the season. Their running back, Toriano Clinton, is the reigning Division II National Player of the Week. In their win over McKendree last Saturday, he had 20 carries for 272 yards and four touchdowns, and then also had two catches for 45 yards and another touchdown. So I have a feeling that the SVSU defensive staff has made a point of pointing out, you're going to have to pay attention to Toriano Clinton when he is on the field for Indianapolis.
And aside from maybe hopefully not being flagged for as many penalties and maybe cleaning up if there's some unsportsmanlike conduct that was necessary, I mean, what does SVSU have to do except do the same thing? Because even though it was a loss, you still played Ferris State well. And you know, why change things at this point with an effective defense and an offense that moves the ball?
Well, and I mean, again, SVSU forced three turnovers by Ferris last week. If they force three turnovers by Indianapolis tomorrow, you've got to like their chances. I mean, now, the one thing I've got to say as well is you got to tip your cap to the Ferris State defense, especially their defensive line. You know, they had been allowing the fewest yards per game of any team in Division II football. Ferris had going into that game, and SVSU wound up with 247 yards total offense, which isn't a great total, but that's 75 yards more than Ferris had been giving up per game going into that contest. So SVSU is going to have to work to establish the run game. Indianapolis has had a good rush defense this year. They have been vulnerable to the pass, has been Indianapolis. I mean, so again, even though they won last week, I mean, one receiver for McKendree had 18 catches all by himself. Two other guys had six, and another guy had eight. So there were a lot of opportunities for them in the passing game last week, even though Indianapolis won. When Indianapolis beat Ohio Dominican earlier in the year, the quarterback for Ohio Dominican threw for almost 500 yards. So they have been vulnerable in the passing game. So I'm sure SVSU will continue to establish the run as they have all season. But I'm sure they're also going to be trying to take advantage of those opportunities in the passing game. SVSU got a big week last week from Ernest Sanders, the wide receiver out of Flint Beecher, who is a transfer from the University of Kentucky. Casey Williams, the local product out of Michigan Lutheran Seminary, he had another big game last week in the receiving corps. So SVSU has those weapons to be able to make plays down the field and even on those intermediate passes after the catch. So I think you'll see a mix of those two things for SVSU offensively and then defensively. I mean, there's no secret about what you're trying to do. You're trying to stop Toriano Clinton because he's the leading rusher in all of Division II football. He's already got 890 rushing yards on the season, and we've only played 6 weeks.
It's homecoming tomorrow on the campus of SVSU. The broadcast time we'll have is 1:30 for a 2 o'clock kickoff on 100.5. Anything else that we need to let fans know about homecoming, JJ?
Come dressed in your Cardinal gear. We would love to see you. And we had a great atmosphere last week. I mean, it was a great game day experience, and so we'd love to see everybody out at Wick Stadium tomorrow.
JJ, thank you very much, and we wish you and your daughter well.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
From the home this morning on the phone, preparing for tomorrow's SVSU game on, again, WSW.com. You can hear it streaming or 100.5 The Frequency at 1:30 for Cardinals homecoming football.